language is weird.
Hello and welcome back to the Super Byron Podcast. We're trying something a bit new this week. Today's episode will be focused on our match commentary, so we'll be looking back at Byron's two games from this past week and looking forward to Friday's game against Augsburg. And in our next episode, we'll be discussing news from this past week along with a few other things. Anyway, I'm Benjamin Scott and I'm joined by the usual guys, Garrett Kerber.
Hey everybody, how's it going?
Tim Richards.
Hello everybody.
And last but not least, Sebastian Zimmerman.
Hi.
So like I said, we're going to take a look back at Bayern's two games from this past week. We'll start with the Hertha Berlin game that came midweek. Bayern went to Hertha Berlin, took them on, made things a little bit more difficult on themselves than they probably should have. Eventually came out with a 3-2 win, and they're going on to the quarterfinals thanks to goals from Serge Gnabry and Kingsley Coman. One thing that really stood out about that match I kind of hit at was that Bayern really dominated the game and still only kind of scraped by with a 3-2 win. What was going on there, Sebastian? How come that game ended up being so much harder than it should have for the Bavarians?
Yeah, I think I see the defense as more responsible in that respect than the offense. I think that's my first thing I really think is very important here. I think there's just this lack of stability that we have been showing in the last couple of weeks that keeps frustrating me and that Kovac seems unable to fix, at least for now. And I also think that this doesn't really come down to single players. I think it's more a systematic kind of thing. At least that's what I've come to think about this at this point, because so often we have been pointing out certain people who we think, who are just not doing such a great job. But I think it just doesn't cut it anymore. At some point, you got to explain this number of mistakes on a systematic level, I feel. I guess that's my most important takeaway from the DFB Pokal game and, the last couple of weeks in general.
Tim, would you agree? You think that's a systematic thing, or do you think you can scratch it up to just individual mistakes? Because Mats Hummels did have one particularly terrible mistake against Berlin, basically gifting them a goal.
Yeah, I think it is a matter of, I don't know, if you look at each game and see that there is an individual mistake, because it is. It's not like Hummels made the mistake by doing that soft header that Selke was able to run onto. There was a mistake in the game against Schalke. There have been individual mistakes, but the fact that there are always individual mistakes, I think Sebastian's right, it is a problem in the whole, in like the wider scheme. 3-2 isn't exactly the best score to signify how this game went. I think Bayern could have easily won 4-0, maybe. Hertha's first goal came from a counter-attack after Bayern, probably maybe should have had a penalty. I think we're all going to be quite biased in that decision, but it looked like Rekic had stood on Goretzka's foot as he was going down. So their goal came from that. And then, for the most part, Bayern controlled the game. And then, again, it was another error that got Hertha Berlin back into it. So I don't know. Well, it's errors that are coming from individuals. The fact that it's happening so frequently, maybe it is a system error.
Well, I think from to speak to the system error aspect, it's, I don't know that it's so much a system error, so much as it is a fool me once, shame on you; fool me twice, shame on me type of thing. Where this keeps happening, and it doesn't. There is being at least enough of an adjustment to kind of mitigate those mistakes. Overall, though, 74% possession over two halves and extra time, and then taking into account that there was extra time, Bayern had 1,006 passes on the game, which was It's kind of crazy. And then I think Hertha had maybe one corner in the first 90 minutes. They ended up the whole match with just two. So Bayern, they like you guys have all said, they should have probably put that one away a lot earlier than they did, and they made it a lot more interesting than we would have liked. But I think that, like you said, we just need to figure out why it is that this keeps happening, why these chances keep being gifted to the opposition. And I think that, like I said, Mats Hummels and Jerome Boateng are only 30 years old, which is older when you're talking about professional athletics, but it's not all that old. And maybe that's just me wanting to say it's not that old. So I'm not that old, but it's not that old in the sense that you still should be able to be. I mean, this is your livelihood, and you still have probably at least 5 years of hopefully effectiveness. I mean, you're looking at Arjen Robben and Frank Ribery are two high-end players, even at their age, and they're playing a much more physically demanding role, it would seem. So, I mean, you got to hope that they're just in some really bad funk, and they'll eventually snap out of it by the end of the year. But yeah, the main takeaway for me, and the same for you guys, was that this is a Bayern squad that can really do a lot of damage on offense, and but that looming error that's just waiting to happen in the back line is concerning, and you've got a scheme for it now.
Do you saying that this is a systematic problem, do you guys think that it's only affecting the defense, or do you think that the midfield and the attack are also prone to those same kind of silly mistakes that are maybe a bit more evident when you see them happen in the defense?
I think as you kind of like suggested there, it's easier to see when a defender makes a mistake, because I guess the equivalent is a striker takes a shot and it goes wide. That's maybe like the closest thing. That happens so frequently. We've spoken about it before in previous podcasts, where Bayern's efficiency in front of goal, they will have, I don't know, let's say 17 shots, and of those, maybe three of them will be on target. Maybe not three, but the ratio of shots taken to on target is so quite, really genuinely quite horrible. Against Hertha Berlin, there was 23 shots in total taken from Bayern. Seven of those are on target. That's really not good at all. Is that less than a third, I think?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maths has never been my strong point, but I know that seven is nowhere near as close to 23 as it should be. Considering that, you know, we have Lewandowski playing, in my mind, in the form of his life. I think this is probably the best that we've seen him play. We've got young wingers. We've got Thomas Müller's now coming back into form. We've got Hammers. We've got Goretzka can find the goal. I don't understand why Bayern can take this many shots but not do anything with it, or not do as much with it. So I guess if we're going to be talking about mistakes further up the field or in midfield, there are issues. There are like underlying issues across the entire pitch. I think for the most part, midfield is where Bayern don't struggle that much, but maybe that's because of how Bayern play by, you know, shortening the pitch and playing such a high line. Where Bayern's midfield is normally where most teams' forwards are.
Sebastian, do you think that this kind of issue, strikers missing so many chances, defense, of course, making these mistakes, does it tie in with that kind of lack of focus that we've seen all throughout the season, or I guess lack of focus across the whole 90 minutes?
I still think that the lack of focus is there, but I don't think that's the root of it. I totally agree with what Tim said, that this problem affects everybody on the field and also on offense. But that said, I feel like defensive behavior really is at the core of the whole thing. I think the lack of getting things done on defense also affects the rest of what they're doing. I think that that's at least what it seems to me at this point. So basically, I think they are not doing well on defense. I think they don't always know who's covering for whom and who's got which responsibilities on defense. I think that that's maybe the biggest part of the problem. And I think failing on defense then becomes a problem with confidence, with doing your thing on offense. That's my perspective right now. It's just an hypothesis for at this point, but I guess, yeah, that's my perspective.
Well, I just wanted to point out that, you know, they did have 8 shots blocked in the Hertha Berlin game as well. So, I mean, those don't count as off target or on target. They, you know, they were just blocked. So, I mean, that's kind of skews things a little bit from the offense perspective. But I do think that the point that of them playing such a high line and shortening up the field is a really good point to make. And I think it highlights again something that we've kind of talked about a lot, is that, you know, offensively, and I know that statistics will back up that Thiago is a really important player for Bayern, but the way that they seem to want to play, Bayern seem to need that kind of destroyer type defensive midfielder that is going to provide some more cover for the back line, especially if they're going to continue to play so high. Because, I mean, we'll talk about it, or maybe we won't talk about it, but it was in the Schalke match, I felt like we saw it a few times where a player would be able to just get the ball, you know, on their side of midfield and then pretty much dribble all the way to the back line there and really put pressure on our center backs. Where a more physical defensive midfielder might be able to, you know, get in their way a little bit more and allow the center backs to recover a little bit better. I'm not sure that Javi Martinez is that guy, even though that's kind of who everybody thinks of when they think of a strictly defensive midfielder for Bayern. I think a lot of the issue is just it seems like they're still not sure how to play together. Everybody wants to go forward and no one is really all that concerned about staying back. I part of me is like thinking, you know, and this is obviously and patently ridiculous, I understand, but like it's like, well, maybe we have a guy play a sweeper role and just literally his only job is to be the last line of defense before the goalkeeper, and obviously, like I said, it's ridiculous, we don't want to actually do that, but you want someone who's a little bit more defensive minded than, I mean, who on the field in the Bayern squad does not want to get forward more times than not. And I think that that's kind of just kind of how Bayern have played for a while. And I wouldn't go so far to say it's systemic, but I would say that they need to figure out some sort of scheme or tactic to mitigate it.
Well, yeah, I think this gives us the perfect time to go ahead and bring up the Schalke game, because Bayern did win 3-1 thanks to an own goal from Bruma, a Lewandowski goal, and a goal from Serge Gnabry. But Schalke's goal that they scored was, you know, for exactly the reasons that you just brought up. The defensive line was, I mean, basically at the halfway line, and that lack of defensive midfielder is kind of what started everything. James gave the ball away kind of cheaply, but Nabil Bentaleb dribbled through like 4 or 5 people before laying off a pass, and Katucu just outran our defense, which, you know, number one, they were so high up the pitch, but, you know, number two, we know how slow our center backs are, especially Jerome Boateng and Mats Hummels. So that just highlighted, you know, everything that you talked about all in one go, everybody wanting to get forward. I'm interested to hear from you guys, because Yeah, Nicolas Sulla was dropped from the match by Niko Kovac, and Mats Hummels and Jerome Boateng started together for, I don't know, the first time in a long time. Tim, what do you make of that decision from Niko Kovac?
I think you mentioned it in the chat the other day. It was, first of all, Sulla has played just about every single game possible this season, save for maybe like one or two. We've got really difficult games coming up, and we need everybody, regardless of whether or not they're playing or if they're going to come in for the last 10 minutes or if they're not even in the squad. We need everybody to be ready to play. I think giving a chance to Jerome Boateng and Mats Hummels together, mainly for Boateng because he's been on the bench more so recently, it was like a vote of confidence, I think. That's certainly how it appeared. Okay, we've done the hard bit. We've got through to the next round of the cup. Let's see what we can do with this. Let's try something new. For the most part, no pressure, but also this is an important game because you need to win. I think it was just a vote of confidence. In my mind, I think they both did quite well. The goal was a counterattack. I was actually at the stadium, and I remember when Jerome Boateng was one of the fastest defenders out there, mm-hmm. and that was only a few seasons ago. So it is genuinely sad to see what injuries have done to him, because you could kind of see the strain on his face as he was running. I was like, this guy cannot keep up at the moment, which is a huge problem, because in that situation, and especially coming up against players like Mohamed Salah, Sadio Mane, Bayern legend Sheldon Shaqiri, these are players that are going to run at pace, and we need very, very quick defenders. A few years ago, Jerome Boateng in that defence wouldn't be a problem at all. Nicolas Sulla isn't the slowest player in the world. If anything, he's actually probably one of the faster defenders around. Mm-hmm. I think he's shown like blistering pace, terrifying pace. He's a big guy. So having him in the defence is a must. But between Hummels and Boateng, you need at least one of those guys to be a lot faster.
Well, then my next question was going to be, between those two guys, if you're Niko Kovac, who makes it into that slot alongside Nicolas Sulla? Has Boateng, I guess, done enough to reclaim his position from Hummels? Or, yeah, Sebastian, what do you make of that?
Yeah, I guess you guys know that I am normally quite a fan of Boateng, and I think over their careers, at quite every point in both of their careers, I would have said Jerome Boateng is the guy, because he used to be much faster than Mats Hummels all along. But right now, it doesn't seem to work out. He doesn't seem to be as fast as he used to be, but not only that, he's not as fast as a 30-year-old Mats Hummels. Hmm. And that is strange. I mean, okay, he has been injured a lot of the time, but that can't be quite right. I mean, if he's really fit, if he's really ready to go, he should be faster than what we have been seeing. So, I don't know. Either his body is really, no longer in a situation that he should be playing football, or I don't know. Or, yeah, maybe he just needs a couple of more weeks and then he's going to be fine and he's, again, going to be a bit faster than, at least a bit faster than Mats Hummels is. So maybe that just looked bad a couple of times and he's on his way to regain at least a bit of that speed. Then I would say, okay, I would go with Jerome Boateng at this point.
Garrett, how was it that you described Boateng trying to catch Katuchu yesterday on the Schalke podcast?
I said he was a bulldozer trying to catch a Formula One car.
Yeah.
Because you could just see he had him in his sights. He just could not get a good line on it, no matter how hard he tried. And I agree with or Sebastian at least mentioned it, and I agree with the statement that I think maybe in a couple of weeks, if Boateng has a few more a couple more weeks to recover from his injury and get back up to game speed, maybe we look a little bit harder at him replacing Hummels, because, like you said, I mean, unless injuries have just literally sapped him of that ability outright, then you know you would hope that he could be at least a quicker option than Hummels. But he is 30 years old, and regardless of the fact that this is a professional athlete, it does take longer to recover from injuries when the older you get. And so he's also sat out for a decent amount of time and just catching up to the speed of the Bundesliga and just to keep pace, or at least to know how much room you have to give, how much cushion you have to give. I think that's a big reason maybe why he struggled so much against Schalke. But I also think that this was the match to do it. If you were going to pair those two together and open yourself up a little bit in terms of having lower speed in the back, I felt like Schalke is the team to do that against, because they don't really have that offensive playmaker to really take advantage of Bayern's backline issues. We mentioned Katucu having just a lot of speed and showing it, but other than him, most of their damage that they did was just dribbling up through and no one being able to take the ball off of them. It wasn't so much just burning our defense with pace. So I think kind of to touch on Tim's point about, you know, saying, you know, I still trust you enough to put you in a Bundesliga match and to give Süle some rest. I think in addition, I think, you know, you look at it and say, this is the match to do it if we're going to do it. So I was surprised to see that lineup, but overall, like, this, they should be good enough to beat and not be taken advantage of by Schalke. So good decision, I think.
One play from Schalke that really stood out to me during the match, and probably because it was one of the only positive plays they had, was I think it was Weston McKennie picked up the ball just outside the Schalke 18, and he was able to take it basically all the way down to our 18. And one thing that really highlighted in his run is he was able to just kind of shrug off Thiago without much, I guess, difficulty at all. And that's an area that we've kind of discussed that maybe needs to be addressed. Do you think that Thiago and Goretzka as a six pairing, do you think that is the answer going forward based on the healthy squad, the fit squad that we have right now? So obviously not Corin Tomlinson, but do you think Kovac should keep sticking with that midfield pairing?
So I don't think he shouldn't. I don't think we should have Thiago in there in the next couple of games. I think it was Garrett who said earlier that Thiago was very important in the last couple of games. And I kind of disagree. I think he was good for the most part. He played quite well, at least offensively, and for a lot of the time also defensively. But I don't think he was important. What I want to say here is, yeah, you can play quite well, you can rack up great statistics, but you can ruin that in a couple of plays. So that's kind of my problem with Thiago here. As I said, I think it's a systematic problem, but I think Thiago is right at the place where most of this happens. The center is, I think, most heavily involved in that. And I think, yeah, Thiago probably suffers the most from that. On defense, at least. Not so much in offense, but on defense. I think Goretzka has worked out better, and I think I would keep him there, and I would try to get somebody else in there. Maybe I would even get Javi Martinez another chance. I would think very hard about maybe getting Kimmich back in there. But again, we have the problem at right back. We have talked about that often enough in earlier episodes. So maybe also not the solution. And of course, then there's Sanchez. that hasn't really been tried. Not really. I think he's I don't think he would have been able to play in the last couple of games, but he should be ready to go quite soon. So I'm totally up for that. I guess Sanchez would be the first guy I would be trying there. He hasn't really gotten that chance. Sanchez and Goretzka, that sounds like something that could work. So I would say let's try that.
So I think that the partnership can continue to work. I think that they need to change up a little bit and be a little bit more clear on roles. I think that Goretzka, if he's going to be kind of more content to stay back more often, then it can work. And I know that's not ideal because we like what Goretzka can give us going forward. However, until Tolisso comes back, I think that it might be the best option. We mentioned Sanchez. For whatever reason, it doesn't seem like Kovac trusts him enough for these matches right now. And while I like to see it, I'd also like Kovac to roll out a lineup that he trusts. So, I mean, I think that it all depends on what are you hoping to do, and if you're hoping to shore up your defense, then yeah, we need to get somebody in there that's more defensive minded. But it seems like Kovac might be content to win games 5-4 if he has to, and you know, for better or for worse. But I know the thing is with Thiago is, you know, you mentioned the run that Weston McKennie had and how he could just muscle Thiago off the ball. That's not overly surprising. Weston McKennie's almost 6'1" tall, and he's a physical specimen. I mean, he's 20 years old, big, strong, can jump. So it's not overly surprising that Thiago couldn't necessarily get him off the ball. But there again, it's what do you want? Do you want a guy who can get players off the ball, which, you know, some people would scream yes, we do. But I think Goretzka could be that guy. It's a trade-off, though.
Well, on Thiago, I'm pulling this from Twitter. It says Bayern have failed to win any of their 4 league games without Thiago this season. I'm picking up just 0.5 points per game. And with Thiago, Bayern have picked up 2.5 points per game. It's also saying that he's won 65% of his duels this season, more than any other midfielder in the Bundesliga. Without Thiago, Bayern have conceded 2.5 goals per game. With Thiago, they're only conceding 0.82 goals per game. And since he joined Bayern in 2013, I guess, Bayern's win rate with Thiago is 81%, and without him, it's 72%. Now, Sebastian, you mentioned this earlier, statistics only tell so much of the story, and considering the fact that he has played so many games this season, it's easy to kind of skew those things and make it look a little bit better than it is. I think that's something that should be highlighted, though, and I think we should almost put out a disclaimer that it's not that we don't rate Thiago, it's not that we don't think he's a good player, that he's, you know, an outstanding player even. It's more so that we need to find, or he doesn't have a role that highlights, you know, his best in the way that we're currently playing, which would probably be more as a number 8 and a 4-3-3 or something like that. And so there's, you know, obviously players that can play in the double pivot a little bit better. But I guess that just does bring up the question, though, can the players on our team play in a double pivot better than he can? And is it not better to just go ahead and get somebody who is so, I guess, so helpful, as the statistics show, and go ahead and use him at the six, and just, you know, take the fact that you're going to have a defensive slip up every now and then, and he's going to get overrun by a larger guy every now and then, but he's also going to be making some pretty exceptional plays offensively, and, you know, occasionally make a great tackle and pull something off like that. So I guess that's just kind of a counterpoint to the idea that Thiago shouldn't be in the starting 11.
I do wonder, too, how much this whole conversation about defensive errors and everything would be different if Bayern were converting a little bit more on some of their chances. Bayern's scoring, you know, three goals a game fairly regularly right now, but it could easily be four or five in a lot of these matches. And, you know, would we look back on this match against Schalke and say, you know, we had some defensive lapses that are kind of concerning if we're looking at a 5-1 scoreline rather than a 3-1? I don't know. Maybe you guys have different opinions on that.
I think whichever way you cut it, not keeping a clean sheet is, you know, not keeping a clean sheet. It's not good. You know, you can win 3-1, 4-1, 5-1. Your defense and your goalkeeper, you still hope that they're annoyed that they gave up that one goal. I think back to Germany beating Brazil 7-1 in the 2014 World Cup when they gave up that late goal, how irate Manuel Neuer was and the Germany or at his German defenders for, you know, not tracking back and not stopping that goal. And that's the kind of drive and determination you want from your defense, that, you know, they shouldn't be giving up a goal no matter what, because as you know, we've seen so many times this season, one lucky goal can easily become two lucky goals or three lucky goals out of nowhere, and you don't want to take that risk.
Right, but the concern isn't as great though, right? So, you know, Germany beats Brazil 7-1. We're not talking about, oh, but, you know, they gave up that goal. Is that going to be a problem going ahead, you know, into this match against Argentina? It was more, you know, oh, are they going to keep up this scoring pace, I guess, is the direction that I'm kind of thinking with that. Yeah. Is, you know, because if, you know, I think expected goals, Bayern are still a few goals behind what their chances are telling us that they should be scoring. So, you know, while it is, and I guess I'm underestimating the ability of Bayern fans to nitpick, but I think that, you know, not that the concern isn't there anymore, but at least it's not a predominant storyline that we continue to have to bring up and talk about every week.
Yeah, I guess I get what you're saying, but you still, I guess maybe I'm being pessimistic, but the way I look at it is there's going to come a game where we don't put away those three goals, where we miss all of those chances, which for Bayern Munich, especially this season, wouldn't be too strange. And you don't want that game to also be the game where we're leaking in goals, we're giving up one or two easy chances. So I guess, find, you know, you should always be looking to improve. So find the problems and fix the problems, because, you know, the offense is going to let you down sooner rather than later.
I guess we really have to face that. It might be all right to concede a goal against Schalke and one against Berlin. That's all right. But playing like that, how many goals do we think we are going to concede against Liverpool? Mm-hmm. Is this just going to be the one goal? I think they're going to bring much more pressure than we have seen against those teams. And those might very well be three or four goals we are going to concede. And then it's going to be very tough, of course.
Right. Well, a couple more things to address about the games from this past week. I want to talk about three players that I think have kind of been standout players in one way or another. And they're all three, I guess, of the attacking midfielders or wingers. And that's Kingsley Coman, James Rodriguez, and Serge Gnabry. I'm going to start with James because I think he needed two good performances out of these past two games, and I think he really gave two good performances across these past two games. I would say he's definitely in contention for man of the match, at least for the Schalke game. He was extremely involved in the attack. His creativity was, you know, very, very present. Do you think that he's going to play an important role in the Liverpool tie? Because I know we had talked in the past about Goretzka might be playing that 10, but do you think James has kind of firmly rooted his spot in the starting 11 now?
Well, at least against Liverpool, I think there's not really much of another way to do. I mean, Müller is not going to play. I don't see how you're going to take Goretzka from the double six. So they're going to play on the 10. It can only be James. So at least for the Liverpool games, it's going to be James. And yeah, I think that's fine. And I hope He's not going to neglect the defense, because that's the most problematic thing we have been seeing in those matches. While I agree he has played very well, there were situations that didn't look so good.
I'd like to see him play against Liverpool. I think he did well enough against Schalke to at least warrant starting the next game. But I think I was quite critical of his first two games back. Okay, he made the good passes, but he also lost possession a lot. I think if he plays against Augsburg, I think that's the next game. I think if he can play well, then I think as long as he's still doing well, he'll become a starter. I think Kovac strikes me as the sort of person that's going to be picking based on performances in training and on the pitch as well. At least for like properly really important positions such as midfielders, and because there is like such a huge selection, I think he will be the most important player in the Liverpool games, and much like he was against Benfica, he was hugely influential in those games.
It's kind of hard to quantify who will be the most important player in those Liverpool matches, because we are so concerned about what they're going to be doing to us when it comes to our defense. And I don't think anybody expects James to be a major player when it comes to defense. You hope that he tries hard, he puts effort in, but I mean, even the mistake that kind of led or played into the goal that Schalke had, it was one of those oh shucks that stinks type thing, but it wasn't enough of an issue to make me think he's a liability by any stretch of the imagination. And I mean, this was one of his better performances in a Bayern shirt, and I think you have to start him going forward now. And I think that there's no question about that. I think that the question might arise, I guess, if you feel like you can't play Müller and him at the same time. I know we all kind of think that you have to figure out a way to get them both on the pitch. But from an offensive standpoint, James does everything that you want from a number 10, especially given the wing play that we've gotten from Gnabry and Coman. And when he's playing like he did against Schalke, Lewandowski's a better player as well. I think he's going to be really key in terms of getting Bayern on the scoreboard against Liverpool. And I think he could cause Liverpool some problems. Will Bayern try to outpossess Liverpool? Then I could see him being the most important player, him or Thiago in that regard. But I don't know. I think it's just hard to kind of quantify who will be most important in those matches.
Okay, well, looking at Serge Gnabry and Kingsley Coman, with Franck Ribéry returning from injury, do you think both of the two younger wingers have earned their spot or earned the right to keep their spot in the starting lineup, or do you think Ribéry overtakes one of them, Sebastian?
No, I would really not think about bringing Ribéry in. If anything, I would probably let Müller play against Augsburg on one of the wings. Maybe that. I don't know. I don't see why you would bring on Ribéry right now. What are you trying to do? What are you to gain from that? I don't really see it. I don't think he's going to win matches for us right now. I think Gnabry is brilliant right now, so there's really no taking him off. And I think more practice, more games will only improve Coman, who has been quite good, but not on the level of Gnabry, of course. So I think he needs more games. He needs more time. I would not take him off right now.
Well, Sebastian, you kind of answered one of my next questions. And Bayern are playing Augsburg this weekend. They play on the Friday match at Augsburg. It's the final game before the big Liverpool match coming up next week. And so my question is going to be, should Niko Kovac rotate, or do you expect him to send out the best starting 11, the best lineup that he's going to use against Liverpool, because to try and get some experience for them? So rotate or send out his best lineup. What do you think, Tim?
I think he needs to rotate. We played 120 minutes against Berlin. Some of those players went on to play 90 minutes against Schalke, like Joshua Kimmich, Mats Hummels, I think. Especially Kimmich. Kimmich needs as much rest as possible, because I guess going back to what we were just talking about, he has the potential to be one of the most important players against Liverpool. He's shown before that he can turn up in big games. He needs to be rested. I think play Rafinha at right back, much to the annoyance of everybody here, I'm sure. But he's going to show up. He's going to play right back, and it's going to be glorious. I think in that situation, you have to play Rafinha over Kimmich, because he's probably going to be slightly more important. I don't know. I don't know why I'm obsessed with this phrase, like, who's going to be more important. It's a team game. Everybody has their part to play. But between the two fullbacks, I think Kimmich has the most important role. Saying that, David Alaba is in really, really great form recently. So maybe he does need to carry on. He seems like one of the fittest players in the Bayern squad. So he probably does strike me as the sort of person that could handle playing 120 minutes, then 90 minutes, then another 90 minutes after that. But this is really highlighting Bayern's issues at fullback.
I think I would. I actually 100% agree that Kimmich should probably sit for the Augsburg match. I kind of flipped back and forth in that in my head, thinking, you know, he's had a run of poor games by his standards, and so, you know, on the one hand, it's like, well, do you let him play through it? But on the other hand, I'd much rather, you know, have him sit, take a breather, watch the game, you know, think about the game, and then get ready for that big Liverpool match. Rafinha will do just fine against an Augsburg. Similar but different. I would start Ribery in place of Kingsley Coman, and just, you know, flip Gnabry to that side, probably, if I'm thinking my sides right. But anyway, I would do that because I think you need to get Ribery into some semblance of fitness, because I do think, even though I don't want to see him start against the Liverpool, I do think he has the talent level still and the skill to come up as an important player off the bench, and I think you need to get him into game speed and all that. So those would be the two changes I would make. I wouldn't make too many more changes, because I think that you got to keep the form going. It does worry me a little bit, the number of minutes that Lewandowski's got on him in this season, but then again, it's not like those are hard minutes, playing up top in that 4-2-3-1. So, no, I totally agree. I think Kimmich needs to sit for a match and take a breather, get his mind right, and then come back at it and be our most important player.
So I think we're all in agreement. Rotation, but not too heavy rotation against Augsburg to keep everyone fit for the Liverpool match and ready to go. All right, well, hopefully they get a win. It was 1-1 last time, so hopefully Bayern can go out, pick up some more form against Augsburg, and get a win. But that's all the time that we have for you this time. You can follow us on Twitter at SuperBayernPod. You can also find all of our own individual Twitter profiles in the description there. Give us a follow. You can listen to us on iTunes, Spotify, any podcast catcher that you might use. If we're not on yours, let us know, and we'll do our best to get on there. We've been the Super Bayern Podcast. Thanks for listening. Leave us a like, review, and tell all your friends. We'll talk to you next time.